She loves him. She loves him. Not. This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's The Dead Girlfriend.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA Pulp Fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Cate.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today we are discussing R.L. Stine's The Dead Girlfriend with our very special guest. You may know him from USA's Playing House, UCB's Herald Team Pony, Mod Team The Summer Of. He creates UCB Drag Race, and he also has his own podcast, Inside the Disney Vault, and a Facebook TV show, I Want My Phone Back. Hello, Oscar Montoya.
Hey! Thanks for having me. It's so funny. All these introductions, when people introduce me, I'm so afraid to just breathe.
You were holding your breath.
Yeah, I definitely was. I was like, I can't let them know that I'm here yet.
Also, even though I wrote everything down, I was in a total panic as I was saying everything. I was like, I'm gonna fuck something up.
Oh yeah,
and sure enough, constantly. I left off SAP presents.
Oh no, you killed it.
Ugh.
You killed it. 10 out of 10.
Thank you.
Would do business again.
Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this book.
Yeah.
And just talk about R.L. Stine, talk about Fear Street, talk
about it all.
All of it.
It's such
top
a
top to bottom.
It's a rich, fertile
tapestry.
Ground. Yeah, it's a rich, fertile ground of tapestry.
If only someone made a tapestry of the Fear Street universe.
Holy
Wouldn't
shit.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Sarah Fear is coming out of a fucking grave. That would be amazing. And it's just teens with blood all over them everywhere. That'd be amazing.
Just a Fear Street quilt, you know?
Oh.
Of the history of
how sweet.
Fear Street. And it would be so much more beautiful than any one of his books. more there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
There'd be so
exactly.
much more there.
Yeah.
It would ascribe a lot more meaning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because it'd have a lot more, I feel like, more history even than all the books combined.
Yeah. Maybe more love.
Certainly more care would have gone into
yes,
it, I feel.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Not a slapdash.
Probably more, even more man hours.
Oh absolutely.
Sure. Maybe take longer
Listen, if
to
you're,
make that
if you're
quilt.
Committing, yeah, if you're committing yourself to a quilt, you're committing yourself to a quilt.
You have to source fabrics.
Oh, yeah.
You have to sew them.
Mm-hmm. And that alone mm-hmm. takes
That alone,
forever.
Yeah. Whereas if you're and committing
planning.
To writing an R.L. Stine book, you're really half-assing
You just do it in a dream.
Yeah, you're just well, what was my dream last night? I'll just write down the bare bones.
Yeah.
And then I'll copy and paste from other books. And that's it.
You just eat 4 boxes of Thin Mints and drink 2 boxes of wine and then go to sleep and you wake up and you have a Fear Street book. Yeah.
And you just sort of repeat the same 2 fights between 2 girls over and over again. Yes.
Classic. Yeah.
Classic. And yet,
so good.
We all bought into it.
Yeah.
I mean, so hard.
I remember my older sister, Christina, was obsessed with Fear Street while I was really into the Goosebump books growing up. And Fear Street was seen as I don't know what it was for you, but in my brain, I was Fear Street is Goosebumps, but for girls, older girls.
I can see thinking that, yeah.
You know, just because the cover, it's all females and they talk about relationships a lot, you know, girl stuff, right?
Gross.
But I would sneak in and read Fear Street along with Nancy Drew books that my sisters used to have too. And I found myself loving Nancy Drew books way more than the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not going to lie, I did love Fear Street books as a kid just because it dealt with relationships and someone who didn't have any. I was
same here,
girlfriend,
brother.
Boyfriend, whoa.
Yeah.
What's that about?
And we talk about now as adults how these books aren't as sexy as the Christopher Pike books.
Yes.
But when I was, a teen that fantasized about just a boy touching my shoulder, I was oh my God, he kissed her mouth. I would freak out.
But everything was such a big deal to us when we were teens, right?
Yeah. Huge everything. Deal. Everything.
Glances, stares, touches.
That's what I was about to say is the mere fact that they had a boyfriend or girlfriend was like, oh, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. Being a teenager is going to be the best.
Wait, you're dating her, but you love the other one?
What?
Oh, my.
Yes. Drama. Just
the thought of someone having multiple prospects was
no
like, I was like, people can fight over you. So lots of baby Kelly fantasies about people fighting over me.
This is very inside, but Sydney Steinberg tweeted the other day. She was like, somebody who's in a like love triangle is not somebody you'd ever want to hang out with, basically. And then I saw multiple people go like, let's unpack that. So you would never want to hang out with somebody who just like two different people liked at the same time.
Yeah.
And I saw like Aaron Whitehead bring it up, maybe Anne Lane, I don't know, somebody else. And she was like, okay, so I didn't think it sounded in my head like a true thing.
Because
I was really laughing at that. Because when I saw that, I was like, yeah, I get this joke.
Exactly.
But as soon as somebody pointed
it
out,
more
it's
to
like
it than that.
There's just two different people who like you.
Yeah, it's. I think it's that, like, you know, like when you first hear the word love triangle, you're like, oh, like very high drama. This person is like going back and forth between these two people nonstop, and so you're just like, oh man, this person's a lot.
Yeah.
But a love triangle really could just be like two people like this one person.
Yeah. For me, it's such a crazy thing to be desirable to more than one person. So to me, a love triangle is a very exciting thing, you know? I'm usually on like one of the spokes of the love triangle, you know?
On the hypotenuse end.
It's usually just a straight line.
hanging out, isosceles style.
An infinite line going absolutely nowhere.
A dot or a line, baby.
Oh God, we could go back into our, wait, was that on this
into
show?
Our what is 3D?
What is dimensions?
Okay,
dimensions? We fell into
it
a
was
hole.
Very bad.
No, because, so two dimensions is paper, right?
Right.
One dimension is a dot.
Is a dot. A line is two dimensions.
Yeah.
And then a cube is three dimensions.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then
four dimensions would be if it also smelled.
Like smell-o-vision cubes.
Five dimensions are all the senses.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Oh,
and the
earth, wind, and fire
sense is you see dead people. that's all the dimensions.
Oh my God.
Another teen
case closed.
Yeah.
And scene. So Kelly, would you like to read the back of the book?
I will do it. Is his girlfriend back from the dead? Annie just met Jonathan. She doesn't know about his last girlfriend, doesn't know how beautiful she was, doesn't know how popular, doesn't know how she died. But Annie is about to find out, because Jonathan's old girlfriend might be dead, but she isn't gone. Well...
All right. So the once we actually got into it, it wasn't a lie. But the beginning, what is it? Is his girlfriend back from the dead? It's like, well, that is a resounding no.
Yeah.
I mean, we can just tell you right now.
The answer is straight up no.
Period.
Sorry to
There's
spoil
like
that for you guys.
One quick second where she's like, holy shit, is that? Oh, my God. I can't remember her name right
God,
now.
Oh, my God. That Louisa?
Yeah.
Louisa.
Yeah.
She's like, is that Louisa? But within like 1 minute, it's like, nope, it's Danielle, Louisa's sister. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, well.
You didn't remember Louisa's name, but you
sad.
Remembered her sister, which I was like,
okay,
there's no way
no
Lindsay's going to
yeah.
know that. Oh, wait. Yes.
Lindsay's very good at remembering
better
names.
At the names in these books.
Yeah,
so
she's
it was
so
like really frightening to me just then when I remember
well,
Louisa.
Well, also, Louisa is a weird name. Like,
it's
right?
It's unusual. Yeah.
Memorable.
When everyone's named Annie... Danielle.
Yeah, it's not as white.
Exactly.
Yeah, it
she's
could
quote unquote
be
exotic.
Yeah,
something a little more exciting.
She could be a Spanish.
But guess what? Spoiler alert:
a Spanish.
She's white.
Spoiler.
She's a dead white girl.
Is a question.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Is every single character in this book white?
Yes.
And how do we read color in books?
Well, so.
I'm
trying to think of any of these characters that could not be white.
It is so seldom that anybody is, that race is addressed.
Yes.
And it's sad because that means you know the author thinks that they're all white.
They're all white, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise they would say.
Yeah, exactly. Olive skin. Like every time there's someone of color, it's like a nice, they like keep describing their color.
Especially if it's a white author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I was joking with Lindsay about how like there was this Tumblr post that was saying like if people wrote about white people's skin in the way that they write about people of color skin. And it was like, his skin was like cold oatmeal. So that's why we were complaining. We're like, everybody in these damn books is the color oatmeal.
Because we read, have you heard of L.J. Smith's The Forbidden Game?
No.
It's a trilogy.
Oh my God. It is so hot. It's so good.
Like we hot, really like it.
Sexy.
Ooh.
It's like Labyrinth, but Ooh. Three books.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm reading it.
It's very good.
The Forbidden Game?
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing it right now.
It's a trilogy.
It is really good.
And by really good, please take that with a grain of salt.
I mean, it's campy. It's good
I'm holding you guys accountable.
It's good for this genre. It's not Infinite Jest, but it is very enjoyable. But in that series, there is a black character, but she is so fucking obsessed with describing how dark her skin is, but how beautiful she is.
It's right. like a very like fetishization.
I'm not racist. She's very beautiful, but her skin, it was ever
but look
so
at
dark.
Her race. Yeah, exactly.
Just all
a lot of authors
time.
Do that, though. Yeah, yeah. It's like,
Where it's like you like exoticize the character rather than just being like, hey, this is like this type of race of person.
Right,
but instead
exactly.
they're like, she stood like statuesque, like a, she called her like, what did she, didn't she call her like a Nubian goddess at one point?
Something like that.
Really,
yikes.
Where I was like, was I'm like, so embarrassed for you. But
yikes.
Yeah, super yikes. She reminds me of like my ex's aunt always used to like tell stories about people she met in the office. And she was talking to me at one point and she's like, oh, you know, I met this girl, Alice. She's very nice. She's Asian to me. And I was like, why would you think that I would care about that?
Yikes. It's so funny. I mean, that's the way people talk to me too.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh, well, you would like them.
Yeah.
They're your race.
Right. Exactly. You two have a thing in common that's very obvious, right? And I'm like, okay.
Do you want to just say it?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, all right, great. But I want to know if there has ever, I'm sure there has been someone of color in a Fear Street book.
I don't know about Fear Street, but definitely Christopher Pike. But we haven't, it's not like we've gotten to all the Fear Streets,
right.
Whereas like I've pretty much read every Christopher Pike book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I forget how he... handled
book?
It. I think it was just like very explicit, like she was Mexican, he was black,
that's,
he was from this country.
And then moving on.
Yeah.
Oh, but that was the book where
that was slightly different, where he was like essentially
no, it was very bad
shaman.
It was a white ghost.
I wasn't even talking about
that
one.
That was a nightmare.
That was horrible.
A white ghost as in like a Caucasian ghost?
Yeah. It was like
a white girl ghost.
More white savior than anyone has ever done before.
Because she takes over a Mexican girl's body and saves
the ghetto.
The ghetto.
No.
She brings...
Yeah. What is this book?
Remember Me Too.
Remember Me Too. So it is like...
And also,
it is meant with the best of intentions and the worst execution.
Of course, yeah.
I love Christopher Pike. It was problematic.
It was just like
it was
dangerous.
So
minds.
Problematic. It was,
but worse.
So like, it's this Mexican girl is suicidal, and she wishes she were dead, and so God is like, wish granted.
Essentially,
it
doesn't come
out.
Like, I'm really simplifying it. This is not the tone of the book at all.
Right.
But to really get to it. So God is like, wish granted. And he takes her soul out. And he's like, and now you, Sherry, blonde, will go into her body and you will bring your writing to the world and bring knowledge to the world.
No, no.
Yeah.
What in the missionary?
Like, yeah,
she
stops the violence in the area because of her book. But then also the story.
That's like the goal. It's like, if you write this book, you'll bring so much to your neighborhood.
But then also we get to read the book.
And it is garbage.
It's the worst.
It's trash.
It's so
it
bad.
It only makes sense in the context of knowing Christopher Pike's evolution as a writer.
Uh-huh.
Because it is a story about a girl whose muse is a literal troll who wants to have sex with her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, we'll have sex. Just give me the inspiration first. And he gives her a bunch of inspiration. And she's like, just kidding. I'm not having sex with you. And she locks him in a closet.
Oh, no.
And then she's like, here, tell you what. I'll give you fan mail for you to jack off to in the closet.
Yeah. So he just jacks off to fan mail in a closet. And he's that's what it's like to be a writer.
And it is, no kidding, 15 pages of the book taken up by this story. And for it to come after pages and pages of Sherry sitting at the feet of the master, being told that she has to let go of things and just trust that by writing who knows what she will impart to people, and this girl's really hurting, and this neighborhood and the ghetto and the barrio and blah blah blah, and then that's what she writes,
and it's like,
and you're like, what?
I know. And I, as I was reading it, I was like, maybe I just don't get it. So maybe it's over my head because this seems like bullshit. And I was so happy that you thought it was bullshit too, because I was
oh my god,
girl,
we would have had to have had a talk and maybe I couldn't have been allowed to continue the podcast. It would have been I so appreciate you for starting this with me, but I'm gonna have to get a new partner.
I have to go in a different direction.
You are problematic.
Oh my god. But yeah, so I think the thing is, though, because we've read a couple of Stein books where we've imagined the characters as people of color until he's like, and then her pale skin and blonde hair and her bright blue eyes. And I was like, oh, never mind, I guess.
Her red hair and freckles. And it's like, okay, well, I guess she's not black or other race at all.
Yeah. These are very white.
Yeah. People. So when you get down to it, if they weren't white, he would be telling us.
I think the most exotic person in this book is Dawn, who has thick black hair. And I'm like, oh, she must be Sicilian or something.
Yeah.
That's as far as R.L. Stein goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Exotic.
Her grandparents immigrated here.
Her great grandparents.
Oh, I've had your pizza. Yeah.
She's also curvy too. So I'm okay, she's different at least.
Yeah.
I was baffled, but I was like, character named Dawn with dark hair.
Yeah, same. I was
what? She's supposed to be blonde.
The name doesn't fit the person.
Yeah. But we have, okay, wait. So our main girl is Annie, right? So she just moved. As I was reading this, I didn't realize this was not a Fear Street book. So when she said that she was in this other town, I was like, what the fuck is this? This is not Shadyside.
It's not canon. The fuck?
Yeah, this is when he was still just at Point Horror.
Just at Point Horror, BB.
So this is pretty early in his career. Yeah,
93. So because if you look at-
earlier than Fear Street.
If you look at the books listed, it is the earlier books.
Yeah, there's none of these listed are Fear Street books yet.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what year New Girl came out. That's his first Fear Street, which we covered with Miss Jackie Johnson.
New Girl.
Yeah. So, okay.
Do you want to do a quick rundown of the plot, Kelly? Or?
Oh, I'll do my best. Okay. And you're going to have to help me with names.
Okay.
All right.
Briefest of brief, and then we can
get Annie,
down to brass tacks.
She's new. She is coming to this school, and she decides to go for a bike ride because she loves riding bikes. She loves to ride bikes. So she rides her bike, and she is like, I'm going to do a bike tour of the town. Then she's like, you know what? The realtor was talking about these falls. They can't be missed. I'm going to go look at these falls. She looks at the falls, and she's like, who the fuck is that? He is hot as shit. He's going to jump off of the falls.
He has got a baggy yellow shirt. I'm in.
Yeah.
He looks like Luke Perry.
Yep.
That is a literal
direct quote.
Yep.
He looks like Luke Perry, and he has a James Dean flat top, which I was like, question, what is that?
What is that?
Really heavy to think about it.
Is that? But I looked at pictures of him, I was like, that's not a flat top. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. No commentary.
Okay. Okay. So she's like, dang, he's hot. Oh my God, he's going to jump off. She's like, don't jump off. And he's like weird to her. And then he comes over and he's like, all right, let's bike home. But there is definitely chemistry. She's like, oh my God, someone slashed the tires of my bike. And he's like, I'm angry. And she's like, oh, this is going to be an awkward walk home. Mad. So he's like mad at her the whole time they walk home. She starts school. oh my gosh, she makes one friend, Don.
Oh, but he asked her out like as soon as they got to her house. He's like, there's this fun party, you should come. She's like, oh my God, house? I basically have a boyfriend.
It's
already.
At Caleb's house.
Yeah. It's at Caleb's house. Yeah, so much
he's
fun.
He's like, my best friend, the hilarious Caleb. The he's hilarious. So funny. You're going to love him. So she's like, so wild. We'll what see about wild that. Man. Wild man. He's a wild man. Yeah. So then, okay. So then, no commentary. So then he's like, I want you to come to this party with me. And she does. She's like, wow, I'm imagining a whole life together with you. Yes. And then next day at school. Hello, Don. Don, you are very beautiful. Or no, at the party. We're at the party. Yeah. Okay.
She meets Don.
Oh, she meets.
This is her second time meeting Ruby, who's very rude to her.
Ruby is rude. Ruby has red hair because her name is Ruby. Ruby seems to kind of like have a thing for Jonathan, mm-hmm. who's the boy. And Don is dating Caleb, but they don't even really seem to like each other. And Caleb is a nightmare.
He's like a fun guy.
He's a wild man. He's a wild man. So she's like, you know, meeting everybody. And then I don't really remember how the party ends.
They go to the baseball.
They go to the batting sports, cages. That
sports place.
They go to Castle Park in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah. And that's how I pictured it, too. Yeah.
And they're all doing 90 mile per hour balls, which I was like, y'all are crazy. Caleb, like, climbs up on. He's so funny. He climbs so up funny. On Left the riot. Side. Falls down, he's fine. So it's like Don he's like,
oh my God, I was gonna throw up. I was so scared.
Yeah. Everyone is like, yeah, Don is like, I was so fucking scared. I was gonna throw up. And Annie's like, that's kind of weird that you guys don't really like each other, whatever. Then school.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to do a research paper.
Mm-hmm. She has to be at a computer.
She has to type in data. His words, type in 10 pages of research into the computer.
Yes.
No comment. Okay. So she does that. And then the next time she goes, it's like erased. And at the bottom of the page, it just says like, you should stay away from Jonathan. You could get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh my God, somebody's like screwing with my research.
And Don is like, by the way, Jonathan's old girlfriend, Louisa, who we have a photo of her
in the school,
wrapped trophy
in
case.
Black crepe paper.
She died under mysterious circumstances, but I'm sure you're fine.
Also, I'm going to tell you all about it. But first, like, follow me all around the school. I'm going to walk all around the school. OK, I'm going to tell you. Wait, no. Hold on. Let's walk over to the principal's office. Wait, no. Come with me. Oh, God, someone's coming. And the whole time I was like, tell us what happened. Yeah. Sorry. No commentary.
No commentary.
So then she's like, rode off a waterfall on a bike.
Yeah.
No motherfucking commentary.
She rode off. A waterfall.
Kelly.
Okay.
I put you in charge of
this. I know. Okay. So they're like, everyone thinks that, the police started investigating and they thought maybe it could be Jonathan, but he's very rich. And the parents stopped the investigation. They ruled it as a suicide. And she's like, all right, I have to go. She leaves. This guy, Fred, comes up. His name, Fred? What's that guy's name?
I don't think so. Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan.
Ryan? Yeah. Fred.
He does look like a Fred, though. Fred is not a crazy name that guy.
Okay, yeah. He is slightly rapey.
But dorky, too, right?
Yeah.
He's got dork glasses.
Rapist. Dork rapist.
He's one of those dork rapists.
He's wearing glasses, a black and green striped polo, and brown baggy pants, and nothing else of note. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, that's impressive that you remember.
Yeah,
that.
But not the name. Yeah.
He's skinny lean. I can never remember names. He's very lean, and he's very creepy to her. He's like, she was my best friend. I want you to be my friend. Do you want to go on a date with me? And she's like,
sorry, I have plans.
And he's like,
she's made plans with Jonathan to go on a bike ride.
She's going to go on a bike ride again.
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan's like, let's go to the falls again. And she's like, I'm not sure that's a good idea. And he's like, no, I'm fine. Caleb's like,
why does he keep taking her to the falls?
Fuck. He's
fucking. Okay, no commentary.
No commentary.
Okay. So he's like, do you want to go to the falls? And she's like, is this a date? And he's like, yes. And then he's like, let's invite Caleb. So they invite Caleb. Caleb goes with them. Caleb like plays chicken with a truck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then is fine. And then everyone's mad at him. And then they go up to the waterfall. And Jonathan is just like doing that thing. He's like staring off into space. Just,
like, standing there again. And Caleb is like, Annie, this is your fault. You shouldn't have brought him here. And she's like, I'm not going to say anything yet. No commentary. And and then they go back down.
Oh, but first she's like, I can't believe Caleb doesn't like me. Over and over again.
Yep.
Which I'm like, why do you care? No commentary.
What? You're welcome to jump into.
Oh,
Oscar.
Yeah.
I don't really remember what happens after that.
Do they stay there?
No, they leave. Then there's a party. Her she birthday.
Her open house spaghetti birthday party.
No commentary.
Okay. So wait. So then
they have a party.
It's a banger. So everyone's having a great time.
This is why we didn't remember it. They have a party. Everybody leaves at some point, and then Annie's mom is like, do you want me to help you clean up? And she's like, yeah, help me clean up. And she's like, oh, you left the water boiling. And she's like, no, I didn't. She goes over there. Oh, her cat Goggles is in the boiling pot of water and has been killed. And then Jonathan, like, the next day is like, I know you told me about your cat, but do you want to come up to the falls with me again? She's like, I guess it'll take my mind off it. Sure.
No commentary. It's a little soon. And he's like, I know it's only been like 9 hours since your cat was boiled in your house, but like, can you just get over it? And stop thinking about it.
And she's like, I guess new weird boyfriend. Sure.
No commentary. She decides to go.
Falls again.
No, wait. She goes for a bike ride by herself. Remember?
She does.
Ryan, because Ryan runs after her.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and this is when he gets.
So Ryan is super creepy to her. Something happens.
He, like,
I don't quite remember.
Runs after her.
Oh yeah, she flees. Yes. She flees.
She's
like,
literally riding her bike away from him
so fast.
She and then falls he's like on a rock, like
a square shaped rock. Square shaped rock.
No commentary. And he like tries to kiss her and she's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And he's like, Louisa was my friend. Louisa's my friend. I want you to be my friend too. And then he tries to kiss her and she's like, no, thank you. And he's like, Louisa felt the same and she regretted it. And she's like, okay, yeah, I guess I'm going to let that pass. And then going to the falls.
Be careful with Jonathan. Yeah. Be careful with Jonathan.
Her bike is fine. So as he's like screaming that at her, she's like riding her bike away from him. And he's just screaming like, be careful of Jonathan.
And then they're up at the falls, right?
Yes.
And then
everyone shows up.
And then Jonathan and Ruby are there.
Yes.
Something happens.
Before that, though, there's that moment where she goes and does her report again at the computer lab. And she goes to a Macintosh.
It's not one of the new Macs.
It's not one of those new Macs.
She types on the keyboard and gets electrocuted.
Yeah. And like comes to.
Oh, I forgot about all of
this. Yeah, she gets like knocked out. And the librarian,
which means she
got electrocuted so hard, she like flew out of her chair and landed on the ground.
Like straight up cartoon style, like hair frizzled up.
And then when the teacher wakes her up, Annie is filled with like the power of electricity.
Yes, the electricity.
And runs to the cafeteria and attacks Ruby.
Yes.
And it's like, I know you did this.
Because Ruby and Dawn were taking computer
like circuitry electrical engineering
classes because according to Ruby, the teacher was really hot.
Yeah.
And Dawn was like, fine, we'll this is a thing that we'll do together.
I want this for my college application.
Yeah.
But she like wakes up from the dead and she's like, Ruby! And like starts sprinting towards
Ruby. Like a superhuman
Ruby.
Electrical force.
She's like now a superhero.
Like she like feels
her first mission is Ruby.
Is to destroy Ruby. Yes. She chokes Ruby. She like grabs Ruby's neck and is choking her. And Dawn's like, whoa, you're acting crazy.
Yeah.
And then she calls her, she's like, you better apologize to Ruby. And then Annie does and gets her to come to her birthday party.
That's right.
Where someone kills her cat.
Yes.
That was
a
missing chunk.
Right. And then the night before they go to this bike ride, she goes to sleep. She has a dream where she's like,
oh, yeah,
maybe potentially the girl that's being pushed off the falls.
Yeah.
First she's pushing the girl and then she becomes the girl.
Exactly. And then she like, it's like a silhouette and a black figured woman. She turns around and it's like skull faced, vivid imagery. But then she wakes up from that dream. It like shakes her. She calls Dawn, her best friend. Mm-hmm. Dawn's just like, girl.
I know. She's like, it's 2 a.m.
Girl. Anyway, so fast forward, they go on this ride. The bike ride to the falls again. Jonathan is there. Ruby shows up.
They're both claiming that the other one killed Louisa.
Right.
Also, for reasons unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, I know that, like, when you're angry, you can't really control how you act. Oh, wait, this is commentary. So Ruby just screams at the top of her lungs over and over again. Liar.
Yeah.
She's just screaming. She's like, liar, liar, liar,
and,
liar.
And also throughout the book, Ruby's sort of like hiding behind, like checking up on Jonathan the entire time. Like she's like checking him out behind the bushes, which Annie thinks like she's straight up in stalker mode, like stalking Jonathan because she loves him. So that's why that's why Annie feels jealous of Ruby.
Mm-hmm. And he went on a secret date with Ruby.
That's right.
Yeah, and he used to go on secret dates with Ruby.
Oh, yeah. So they're like, oh, yeah, we were secretly dating before Louisa died. And that's why Ruby killed Louisa. And Ruby's like, you're a liar.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you killed Louisa because you wanted to date me. And they're like, no. And then they actually get in a fight. And then Jonathan chucks Ruby over the falls.
Yeah. She like scratches his face and he literally throws her over the waterfall. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, good. Now you and I can be together, Annie. And then Dawn shows up and she's like, no.
I know.
I did it all.
Yeah. She's like, it was me.
I wanted Jonathan. Yeah. And they're like, oh, boy.
And she's like, you think I liked Caleb? Ha!
Right.
And then Dawn is about to throw Annie off the falls because it's just the best weapon in the area. And the police show up and they're like, lucky for you, somebody notified us. And it's fucking Ruby.
Yeah. Ruby's like,
with a broken arm.
She's like, broken ribs, broken arm. She dragged herself to the dang police station.
In like a minute.
Yeah, no, she must have sprinted. Yeah.
So egg on Annie's face for sure. And then
and Ruby's.
Yeah.
They're egg on their face too. They got the other one, didn't they?
Yeah.
So embarrassing. For sure.
And then Jonathan and Annie walk off into the sunset together.
The end.
And the beginning of commentary.
Yes. Well, before we get to commentary, can we talk about the cover of the book for a second?
Yes.
Just because it's a fascinating book cover.
It's so good.
Well, I think it looks cool. I think she looks like a Victorian child. She looks, this is some flowers in the attic shit. Yeah. Why is she like so young?
My dead girlfriend from 1895.
So is this supposed to be Louisa or Annie?
Louisa, because she's dead, right?
But then this was the dumbass outfit that she wore to the party. She wore a lacy sheer button up white top with a black.
Why do you remember
Betsy
all
Johnson
the clothes?
Skirt with black tights.
This is some,
I do remember. This
is
some
straight up. This is some straight up like Little House on the Prairie
70s
like realness right here. Like.
Oh, yeah. Like
collared like, up, like buttoned up all the way to the collar. The collar is up. That hair is just so, come on. Those, there's
like
just so much
height.
Going on.
Well, I'm like, those are.
I fucking love the backlighting.
Yes.
I love the backlighting
the intense,
too.
Oh, the backlighting
like,
is great.
Backlighting making her hair look like it is a white hot flame.
Mm-hmm.
It is and very
maybe this is Annie after she's been electrocuted. I don't know. I mean,
she's like,
also
Ruby!
Like half of this girl's face is a skull, and it has like the little bumpy things, which is a really fun thing to play around.
Tactile.
It's tactile.
Tactile.
I love books that are tactile.
Her hair is like, so it's so 1800s fresh.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you can tell that she did that thing that they did, which is like get a scrap of cloth and wrap your hair around the scrap of cloth and tie it and like do that
and
all over.
Sleep on it.
And sleep
I'm
on
sorry,
it.
I'm sorry, what is this?
Yeah. So in the olden
all
times.
All girls know this trick.
Girls, life hack. Cut up a shirt. And then you have your little rags and they're like
travel back
strip.
In time.
Travel back in time. And you take like pieces of your hair and you have the little strip of cloth.
Okay.
I'm going to demonstrate with
Kelly's demonstrating with a napkin
with a little paper towel. Okay. And then you wrap your hair like this.
Okay.
So you roll it up as if it were a roller.
Okay.
And then you tie the ends and then it would stay.
Oh.
And then you sleep on it. So
it's just
and then
you
undo them and then they would just...
and then it does that spiral kind of like
oh
curl
okay
like
the
that.
Very romantic loose curl okay
it's also like a very the 90s thing where you would buy those like very like magenta teal little pool noodles.
Yep.
Guess what? I have some of those pool noodles.
Yeah, currently pool noodles.
I do. I have pool noodles. They don't
hair
really work.
Noodles.
They don't work great on my hair though.
Oh,
nothing works great on my hair. It's too thick.
My hair is just like
brag
too straight.
Nothing works on my hair because it's too thick and luxurious.
My hair is just too much of a beautiful mane.
Too much.
So this like was confusing to me because I thought, just looking at it, you think, okay, this is gonna be a ghost of like, this is like a Seraphir ghost.
Yes
But it's not.
No,
it's not. It's a contemporary.
It's not even Louisa
girl. Mm-mm.
No, because Louisa
also looks like she's maybe like 10.
No,
she looks very young.
Which is why I think 1800s.
I kept covering up the skull part. Look at this. She's like 10.
No, she's so young.
She's a child.
She's a child.
You know, she looks like JonBenet.
Controversial.
But doesn't she look like JonBenet?
Definitely
National Enquirer cover.
She looks like
she
glamour
does,
shots.
Though.
Yes.
JonBenet.
Wait, this was 93. When was JonBenet?
Probably 90, maybe around that about, same time.
Because I'm wondering if there was some kind of inspiration.
Artist was like,
morbid.
I'm inspired.
Like in a checkout line.
Looks over a copy of People. Who is that child? And what is that hairdo?
Why am I so fascinated
with
that?
Oh, darn.
Gosh.
You know what? Oh, yeah. No, darn.
Oh, dang.
96.
Oh, no, it wasn't inspired by JonBenet.
No.
Oh,
darn.
Don't read this book then.
Yeah.
Book ruined. I don't like any book unless it has to do with a 90s scandal.
The back cover also, it's this disgusting brownish color.
Yeah.
Like a deep brown. It's not a and the font is like this like gold, so it's like you're working with golds and browns, mm-hmm. or like weird tans, mm-hmm. so it's not like a cool looking book. It's not like a teal or aquamarine where it's like, oh, this is fun. So straight up, you take this book, you look at it, and you're like, okay, this is gonna be a bland adventure I'm about to dive into.
Yeah, and the cover is not
opposite reaction.
See, the cover's not as like sexy.
Really into
I thought it?
It
was like ghost story, and the like the F in girlfriend is super long and
it's
pointy.
Like a sword.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I thought
yeah,
there
like
was like
knife.
Murder.
Oh,
so I thought
yeah.
it was gonna be a ghost story, like maybe a ghost falls in love with a boy and then is trying to kill his girlfriend or something. I was like, oh, sign me up. Like when we first started the podcast, this is one of the first books I bought.
Really?
I've had this since like July 2016, just waiting for a chance to crack it open. And then it was this bullshit.
Yeah. There's
the fun.
There's no ghosts.
There's no ghosts.
There's no ghosts.
Not even the hint of a dream ghost.
No. The only supernatural element in this book was the electrocution where she gets surged with magic powers to kill Ruby, I guess.
Yeah.
Surged with the magic powers of being very angry.
Yeah.
It's just so weird to
like,
me that she wakes
me?
Up and she, the way it's described, like the, it must've been the electricity, but I just felt like pure power.
I know.
It's insane.
Like, she was going
hell?
Like storm on her ass. She like gets up and she's like, I feel it. The elements.
Do you know what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else. Like the hell is that? Worst line of all time.
The same thing that happens to everything else.
Gosh.
I'm looking for that part now.
So
where
yeah.
she goes like electricity crazy. I can't find it.
She yeah.
Oh,
it's a trip for sure. But in the beginning, her thing is that like she loves to ride bikes, which is a great thing because apparently that's what all the cool kids do in this town.
Yes.
Lucky her.
Yeah, because people drive, right?
Yeah.
Teenagers drive. Mm-hmm. But only like there was like a mention of like having a bike club. But apparently only like the cool kids ride bikes.
Yeah. Caleb
really
has
wants
that
to.
Idea when on their 12th trip up to the falls.
It is
you guys, and he's the guy who like hangs off of ceilings and played chicken with a Mack truck.
Yeah.
And now he's like, you know what'd be fun? We should have a bike club. Just like good clean fun. Like every like sometimes on a weekend we'll get together with some snacks. We'll like go biking across like a few cities into the mountains. And nobody gives too fun.
No, there's no, so many to him about it because he's like, I mean, I could like plan out different routes and have it be a really interesting adventure all across the countryside. Yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
And shut up, Kayla.
Dawn in particular is like, oh, why am I with you?
Yeah. Well, we know why now.
We know why now. I mean, she could have just been alone.
Yeah.
She didn't have to be with Caleb. No.
Nobody asked that of you, Dawn.
Here's the thing. Can we talk about Dawn for a quick sec?
Yeah.
Dawn is described as being like fat is not the right word, because any sort of like, she's like, oh, I wish I had your body type. You have like curves and you're like whatever. But Dawn has some serious body image issues.
She does.
She's like,
she does.
Constantly eating salad. There's a part. She says something. Oh, man, I can't even be. Where is it? She eats the salad and they were like, she's picking at it. And Annie's like, wait, you didn't eat any of your salad. And she's like, oh, it's a good thing. I need to lose weight anyway. She's like, there's nothing worse than looking fatter than your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. And I was just like, what's happening?
Yeah. Dawn has like the whole time she's like riddled with these body image issues. Yeah. Like at the very beginning. And the thing is, and I liked that the book did this, mm-hmm. that like everyone else saw her as very beautiful.
Yeah.
Annie is like, you are perfect.
I shipped them so hard when she did that. Yeah. So they were having this like moment, and I was like, if this were a book today, mm-hmm. it would be my hope that like they just realize that Jonathan sucks and they just go be together. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, ugh, I don't know, like I, you know, need to lose some weight or whatever. And she's like, I think you're absolutely perfect.
Here's
and I was
thing.
Like, what?
If this movie was made today and sell it to like a hot teen demographic or whatever, you know, there's going to be a scene where Dawn fucks Annie because she's getting closer to Jonathan. Like there's that scene where they're like, exactly like wild
oh
things.
My
I'm talking
God.
Wild things here. And she's like, oh, you know, you're great. You have a great body. And Dawn's like, oh, really? Well, you know, you date Jonathan and then they like have sex or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's just Dawn using Annie
to get to
Jonathan.
Ugh. And I'm feeling like Riverdale vibes with this.
Oh, yeah.
Like those like deep saturated colors.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But the thing with Dawn is like, how old are these people, by the way? They're like, what, 16?
I think she says like, she's 16.
She's 16 and she has her driver's license, mm-hmm. but she prefers to ride her bike.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Even
she's
though she's right, she was riding her
with
brother's
being
bike.
In good health.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's like, right. I love being in good shape.
I just like, it's just really important to me to be healthy.
Yeah.
I feel like R.L. Stine read an article about young women having poor body image issues. And he was like,
I can
you know
fix
what?
This.
I'm going to make the main character like thin but healthy.
Yeah.
Well, like,
and I'm going to make a character who's very sensitive about her weight. I'm going to make sure everybody tells her she's beautiful.
Well, so what happened was a white girl died, and then R.L. Stine wished that he was dead. And then so God put a white girl into R.L. Stine's body and was like, you can change the world by writing this book.
If I could change the world.
Wow. Deep Eric Clapton cut. And Babyface, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
That was Babyface.
And it's also... maybe kind of the theme to the John Travolta movie phenomenon.
Oh my God, Lindsay. Yes. Oh my gosh. Where he's an angel.
No, that's Michael.
That's Michael.
Phenomenon is when he has tumor and it gives him powers.
Wait, but so he has
a small town becomes afraid of him.
Wait, but Michael is, he's an angel,
and
has magic powers.
He has magic powers. And he falls in love with Andy McDowell.
No, he doesn't.
Wait, he doesn't?
Oh my God, you guys need to see a movie, okay?
All I remember is that he had feathered hair. That's all I can remember.
And
he wore a big coat to cover his weave.
That's right, yes.
And so what it is all, he smells like cookies.
Wait, okay. No, that can't be
a
detail.
I swear to God.
No.
He smells like cookies and all women want to have sex with him. And Andy
Michael?
McDowell, mm-hmm. Andy McDowell is like, I don't. He's like, yeah, I turned it off for you.
Because he likes her.
Because I'm an angel and I'm here to help
you.
No,
but it sounds like it was he was negging her hard.
Yeah, he was like, I turn it off for you. There's no way you could be attracted to me. And then he like whiffed his like cookie smell at her.
He does. Yes, he smells like cookie.
What?
He brings a dog back to life at one point.
I remember that part when he brings the dog back to life.
He needs to be in this book.
What's the movie movie Fluke, where a guy goes into a dog body.
Fluke?
Fluke?
Apparently, this was after I stopped watching movies.
I mean, I've never heard of this movie.
Kelly,
are you sure this is a movie you made up in your
and
brain?
Then I was like, it's never going to get any better.
Starring JonBenet Ramsey.
No, watching movies.
Okay. You don't remember this cover?
No. What? Fluke? No. It's a dog wearing human shoes. I don't know how I feel about that.
It's a workaholic Thomas P. Johnson, played by Matthew Modine, has achieved professional success. He neglected his wife. He has a bad life. But then he gets a dangerous wreck. And then he gets put into a body of a dog.
This reeks of straight to DVD.
I don't know why
reeks of it. This does not smell like theatrical release to me.
95.
The
it made $3.98 million.
That's so I think not a lot.
I think it did pretty well.
Where do you see how much money it made?
Box office, 3.98.
Oh, more about the movie.
Million USD.
Kelly, I don't think that's a lot. I think it's considered a flop. It's
by Screenplay Darlings, Carlo Carlay, James Herbert, and James
I'm sorry,
Carrington.
Carlos Carlay? That's not a person.
Also directed by
Boutros
Carlo Carlay.
Oh, this is a Carlos Carlay joint, an original? Okay.
But music by Carlos Siloto.
No, too many Siloto. Carlos. I'm done. I'm done.
I have a one Carlos limit on my movie.
94% of Google users like this movie.
All right. Get a load of these Michael credits.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I have to.
Oh, yes,
no,
Michael.
No, do it,
yes.
do it.
Well, first of all, it has a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ouch.
38% on Metacritic.
Eek.
Okay, I'll make you feel better. Right. Fluke had 27.
There you go.
I just didn't tell you guys.
So it's when jaded journalist Frank, played by William Hurt, and Huey, played by somebody I don't know. So I'm not even going to say his name.
Wow, ouch.
Along with angel expert Dorothy, Andy McDowell, travel to a small town in Iowa to investigate a story. They find Michael, a disheveled man claiming to be an angel. But Michael is less than angelic. Who wrote this?
This person had like an agenda.
He drinks, smokes, and basks in the attention of women. As the group travels to Chicago, Michael teaches them about relationships, faith, and miracles, suggesting that he may be exactly whom he says he is. Initial release. Guess.
You don't know. Box office?
Mm-hmm. No. Like date it was
date.
Released.
Oh.
It was released in 97.
Oh my God. So close. 96.
Dang.
I was going to say that.
But Christmas Day 96.
Oh, it's a Christmas movie.
Interesting.
But get a load of this. Yeah. Music composed by Randy motherfucking Newman.
No.
Really?
And directed
by Randy motherfucking Newman.
Oh, I'd be shocked.
Nora Ephron.
What? Really? Dark times for her.
Oh,
Nora.
Dark
times.
Nora. Motherfucking
no,
Ephron.
Nora.
Who wrote
Poor
it?
Poor Nora.
Who wrote it?
Did Nora write it?
Oh, no, maybe Nora was just like,
Carlos
Carlay. There's only
it's
so much.
Carlos,
I
can... Carlos Carlay. Carlay.
It's always Carlos Carlay.
Always Carlos Carlay.
You don't think it is, but it's always Carlos Carlay.
Ghost written by Carlos Carlay.
Okay, I hate to tell you guys.
Oh,
his name
no!
is Carlo. Carlo Carlay?
No! Oh. It was Nora.
Really?
Really?
And Delia Ephron wrote this
Delia,
movie.
You know what? I can smell Delia's paws all over that thing, though.
Damn.
That's Delia. It's her problem.
Nora
was
trying
shocking.
To save it.
She was trying to.
She was trying
she was
to
like,
save
I'll
it.
Direct it.
Yeah.
That was
She's
a
like,
roller
that'll help
coaster.
Wow.
Wow.
Guys,
Nora
go watch
Ephron.
Michael.
Go watch Michael. He you smells know, like cookies.
10 out of 10. Oh, my God.
How did we get into this segue? How did this happen?
I sang If I Could Change the World.
Right! Because Austin was helping young women everywhere with their
body
image
issues. We found
right.
the thread.
Yes,
we followed the breadcrumbs
Guys,
back.
But I could tell that Dawn was too sexy and maybe evil because she wore hot shorts over a Lycra cat suit to a party.
That's right. Yes.
And I was like, she's evil.
Also, she's got dark hair. And
she has dark hair.
I've been, you know, as you know, we've been conditioned to think that women who play with their hair too much is an evil trait.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, there's something about her that is. I mean, did you guys call it? I mean, did you guys?
I knew Dawn was bad.
I knew she was too nice. not to be bad.
To Annie.
And that Annie was so like, she's like, I instantly liked her. Like, I really like feel this connection with her. I was like, Dawn is being manipulative somehow. I just didn't know what the deal was.
Okay.
Also, she was too sexy and sex is evil.
As we all know.
Yeah. Common fact.
Unless you're Michael, the angel.
Wait, so does he ever have sex with Annie McDowell?
Not Andy McDowell, other women, though.
He doesn't ever have sex with Annie McDowell?
Kelly, you are really caught up in this story.
The love story is between Annie McDowell and William Hurt.
Don't believe it.
Yeah, she's an angel expert. She's not going to fuck what she's like.
Don't fuck
learning.
What you study.
Yeah, exactly.
You never fuck what you study. Everyone knows
classic
that.
Classic mistake.
Exactly.
I've been listening to so much motherfucking Las Culturistas that I almost listed that as a rule of culture, which is their thing, not ours.
Stealing.
Shout out to Las Culturistas.
Forever Dog Sisters.
Okay.
Anyway, okay.
Anyway, so, yeah, Dawn. Dawn is
I also
evil.
Knew Ryan was too much of a rapist to be the bad guy.
I knew he wasn't. Yes. I knew he was exactly.
He served no purpose in this narrative at all. I thought he was going to save the day or something.
He literally did nothing.
It's just so you think it might be him for 2 seconds.
The worst of all is not having Danielle play any significant part in the narrative of this.
She doesn't even contribute anything, not even any information.
Not any plot, not any character.
At all. That reveal all that of Danielle at the end, I'm like, y'all, this is like too late for you to be introducing this character. Way too late. She didn't notice Danny. Nobody talked about that she had a sister.
Yeah.
No one. Really?
No one. And
why isn't her photo up in the trophy case?
And hers is like wreathed in like roses.
Yeah.
The one that lived.
Yeah.
The girl that lived.
The girl that lived. I wanted to really quick read
the plot of Phenomenon.
Yes. I wanted to read how Jonathan talks up his friend Caleb to
Annie.
Please do.
It's very short, but it's just he turned his gaze toward the woods as if he saw something. I have this friend, he started. He's my best buddy. I mean, he's a total dork, but he's my best buddy. Actually, he's a wild man. You'll like him. And then she starts to freak out because she's like, I don't want him to fix me up with his wild man friend.
And then, no, you don't, Annie.
His name is Caleb. Jonathan continued, still staring into the woods. Caleb Dorsey. He snickered as if remembering something funny about Caleb.
Jonathan's in love with Caleb.
Jonathan's in love with Caleb. For sure. Yeah.
This is the sad part.
Because Caleb does all this shit that's like so stupid. Mm-hmm. And the only person that's laughing is Jonathan.
Yeah.
Or the person who's getting most upset and fearful of his safety.
Yeah.
It's Jonathan. Yeah.
Here's another little exchange between Jonathan and Caleb. Watch out for this guy. He's an animal. You're not animal. You're vegetable. Caleb. You're not even vegetable. Caleb replied. You're sponge. If I'm a sponge, you're the stuff you have to wipe up with a sponge, Jonathan exclaimed. The two of them collapsed laughing.
This is, again, when people tell us.
I would have walked away.
Like, oh my God, it was so nice to meet you. Thank you for the invitation. I have to go bike more.
Also, like, okay, so he keeps saying.
When people tell us, like, no, Arlstein meant for these books to be funny. He's like a comedy writer. I'm like, no, he's not, because of scenes like that. That isn't funny.
That's not
funny. It's not witty.
Also, the right move is if you call me a freaking vegetable, if I called you a plant, I'd be calling you a mineral.
Fuck. Yes,
yeah.
That's the next lateral move.
Because guess what?
Not a sponge. Where sponge come from?
Sponge is animal. You fucking dumbass.
Jesus Christ.
Where does sponge come from?
It doesn't. And then we move away to cleaning.
The ending and not the beginning.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
I want to get to the part where
I'd be the asshole at the party to be like, I'm sorry, you meant to say mineral is what you meant to say, because and then I'd be punched in the face.
And you'd be like slurping up your bowl of spaghetti.
You know I'd be having freaking thirds and fourths of those spaghetti.
No, I would be there only for the free food. I'd be like, yo, what's up? Oh,
also,
hi,
have you ever in your life ever heard of the spaghetti party?
No.
Where did he come up with this?
Have you even ever in your life had a birthday party where you cook for all your friends when you're 16.
No,
no,
maybe
no,
no, now.
No,
no, now you'll
for sure. For your
party.
Friends, fine. For sure. But spaghetti?
It's like, also, hi, yeah. Hi, all these new cool kids. My name's Annie. I just moved here. It's my birthday. Do you want to come over? I'll make you spaghetti. I'd be like, who are you?
Yeah. Also,
I'd be like, okay, you're spaghetti okay. girl. You will be yeah. spaghetti girl in my mind
I'm
forever.
Sorry. Now you're spaghetti girl for life.
That would be one of those things where, like, okay, if I were, let's say Dawn isn't evil,
yeah.
and I'm Dawn, uh-huh. and I'm like her only
oh,
friend.
Oh, you're casting yourself
I'm
as Dawn.
I'm casting myself as Dawn. Okay. The beautiful one with a long dock.
Sexy, beautiful Dawn.
Lindsay, who would you play?
Danielle. I only have to be there for 30 seconds, and I have no involvement.
Oh,
who would you play?
I would play the librarian. Are you okay?
See, you were just it. Thrown across yeah. the room by a keyboard.
Oh, man.
And she was also kind of victim blaming. She's like, yeah. what did you yeah. do?
I know.
That made
that
it
computer
do that.
Is old, so you should have known that going into it.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Yes, you were
no,
Dawn.
So if I'm Dawn,
uh-huh.
and my per like I wouldn't say anything to her right away if she was Spaghetti Girl. But we would get in a fight someday.
Yeah.
And I would be like, you made spaghetti at a party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah
it would be
yeah.
something that would come out and I'd be like, I'm sorry, that was really mean.
Yeah. Also, she's brand new. Like, what?
That's a problem.
That's a terrible, I mean, that's like image suicide. For a high school, it's like,
order
oh,
a pizza, you dumbass.
Yeah, you're a new girl. Yeah. What are you doing having a spaghetti party? Also, is it just spaghetti or is there meatballs in there? What sauces yeah. are we going to have at this party?
Is like, there bread? Are there?
Can you imagine?
Is there soda even?
How
she's
are
just
we
like
gonna
slopping these noodles into people's bowls. And then she's like, do you want meat or marinara?
How, like, are we eating? Do we have utensils? Like,
oh
are
my
they,
god!
Like, what? There's so much going into it.
I know.
It.
Is it a spoon and fork situation? Or
it would
is
drive
it
me crazy. It would drive me absolutely crazy.
Is everyone at a table, or like some people standing and eating their spaghetti, and some people are like sitting in the chair eating spaghetti,
this
and they're like
nightmare.
Trying to talk to each other?
This is an absolute
I
nightmare.
Don't,
this is a
nightmare
party.
Have a picture of this setup.
I
of
can't
this spaghetti
it.
Party.
So she a lot of times, and the way she does this kind of thing, it's like the way she says that things are kind of funny and the way that they say that Caleb is so funny, it just reminds me of like when people are like, I don't know, I'm just like so random and like
yes.
do completely mm-hmm. not
nothing
even noteworthy things
surprising yeah.
So like she's like, I mean, everyone was sitting around slurping up spaghetti at my party and I just thought, what a silly image.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you
yes,
are
that's
so
true.
Boring.
Also, she was
died.
Like, she was definitely like convincing. I'm picturing like she's retelling this whole story to us. Like,
yeah.
this is what happened. And then she's like trying to play up this party being like, there was music, but I could barely hear the music. Everybody was just talking to each other. I'm like, girl, there were three people at your damn party. Okay.
The three people that you've been talking to this whole book.
You're like, wait, so the three people you've mentioned
right.
over and over again,
also,
the
I'm
only
sorry,
people?
If you're going to have a... No one saw goggles being thrown into the freaking pot.
No one
yeah.
smelled what? Goggles being boiled for hours?
Come on, Spaghetti Annie.
No one heard the cat being boiled?
Like, you
no
can't boil a cat alive. There's
a
no
cat?
Way.
Also, like, have you ever been to someone's house when they are boiling meat? Have you ever been to someone's house when they are making a stock? It reeks. So you are telling me that
Kelly,
everyone at
that
this
comes,
party.
Do you go to a lot of people's houses that boil meat?
Actually, for her birthday, she had a stock party.
I was like, bring your own bone.
That's why we call her Stock Kelly.
Stock Kelly, it's my thing. Here's the thing. Once a month, I
Kelly
go to
stew?
Someone's house.
Kelly,
stew Kelly,
Kelly.
The
stew
Kelly.
Stew Kelly.
Stock Kelly Stew.
But you're telling me that nobody smelled an entire animal being fucking boiled
yeah.
on the stove
very
for
weird.
Who knows how long?
Very weird.
How did she think
the
it was cotton?
Cat would have screamed.
It would have screamed. So was it dead before? Maybe they just snapped its neck.
Maybe.
And then,
maybe.
But truly, I was that like we can all agree that's like the most traumatic thing that happened.
Oh my
happened.
God, it's
no,
it was horrible.
Right?
I would
never
upset.
Get over that.
Because no one died in the book except
no.
for goggles.
Like off page, people died
right.
in goggles.
Well,
but it was,
right.
But
that
was
like
just
the
Louisa.
Most traumatic,
no, that was horrible.
Insane thing, right?
Yeah.
And, it is like tossed aside. It is just tossed in there.
That's exactly
and then
my point.
They brush it away.
Like completely glossed over that.
Yeah.
She didn't even confess to killing goggles later on, you know?
What about goggles?
What about goggles?
What about
also,
goggles?
Also, you know, she talks about goggles as being the cat, this cat that likes to jump on people. And I was like, oh, I can picture, like reading the beginning
of it.
I can picture it. Like, they're going to come to her house. She's going to try to run away. And then goggles is going to save the day.
Mm-hmm. No, that didn't happen. I love that.
Put that Chekhov's gun right in a drawer.
Yeah. Right in a boiling pot.
And they were like, that's what we think of story structure and tradition.
Oh, also in this party too, I just want to point out too that after the party was over, the mom comes downstairs and this is like, I don't know what her deal is, but she told Annie, she's like, aren't you proud of us that we stayed in our room the whole time? Like, do you remember that part?
Yeah, she even says that we were so good.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, what is your guys' role? Yeah. Like, what? Who's the mom? Like,
what's the family dynamic here?
Yeah, it was upsetting. And also, like,
who is this mom?
So the dad is there. I thought the dad was not there until
she
was.
In the picture, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until the mom's like, isn't it great that, like, me and dad stayed upstairs the whole time? And I was like,
weren't we so well behaved?
She's been saying this whole time that both of her parents work at a community college.
Oh, that's right!
And the night goes to the party, both of her parents were at a party at the community college.
That's right, they're professors. I forgot about that.
Also, is this an impressive thing to be a professor at a community college?
I was thinking what that are the too. Stakes here? I was like, not to knock community college teachers, but that's not like...
You couldn't make them professors?
Prestige.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like a weird choice for a book. It's like, cool, exactly. Valid choice for life.
Yeah.
Odd choice for a book.
You know what I think it is? I think he was like, if it's a college, then the town is too big. And I want the town to seem small.
But it can be like towny
college.
Or just make them teachers or something. Like make them like literally anything.
Or just like set it at UC Davis.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. A small town.
Or UC Merced.
Yeah.
Which didn't exist yet.
I think there was an element of like that they were like middle class, like they were like working class because there was like the fancy neighbor part of town.
Right, and that dog chased her out of it.
That's right. Which made me think like, are you poor?
Yeah.
Is there color to you?
Oh, yeah, because Jonathan's...
Because Jonathan's rich.
Like, are you an ethnic minority?
Yeah.
Am I going to bond with you right now? No, you're white?
Okay. Never mind.
Bye.
Yeah, because she was
Jonathan's
like,
rich.
Because the dog chases Jonathan her out and she's like, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, ooh, what's going to happen? And she's like, I'm white.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
No, privilege still runs through my veins. Sorry,
<Don't>
guys.
Don't worry. Don't majority rules.
So I guess, I don't know. The community college teachers was a weird choice for me anyway.
I agree. I didn't know what to think.
Yeah.
The thing that stopped me up about it, it was like, they both got hired at the same time?
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
It's like, I appreciate the mom was also a teacher in a college, but it was weird. It's a weird choice.
It was weird because I kind of was like, is something up with that? Because why would they hire two, like a husband and wife teacher team to like...
They teach marriage 101. You can get your associate's degree in marriage.
The way Ruby was introduced is very funny to me. Dawn, who is, I would say, like the sexy girl.
Yeah.
And my question is, like, what is Ruby's role in the high school? Like, what's her thing? Because Ruby shows up and Ruby's going on a date with some dude or whatever. And Dawn says, I don't think she... Oh, she's going on a date with some guy. And then she's like, I don't think he goes to Shocklin. Also, Shocklin is a weird name for high school.
Yeah.
Ruby probably doesn't know his name either. I laughed. I like Dawn's nasty sense of humor. Mean girl.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some people do aerobics. Ruby does guys.
Yeah. So Ruby's like
the slut.
That's what her role is.
In these books, if you kiss more than two people in a year or are just like dating around, you are a slut.
Yeah. Or even
you are
if
a
you
fucking slut.
If you say like I like sex or I like guys or something, then you are a slut. Like if you are boy crazy, you're a slut and you hate all other women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Christopher Pike books, a lot of the time it was like chubby slut, chubby boy crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a trope of a character.
Yeah. Huh. And it's like she like needed to lose a little weight. We couldn't really be considered pretty, but she sure slept around.
Oh, and I'm like, what? bitch. Or that one girl where he was like, she put on some big sunglasses. They didn't really do anything to cover up that nose of hers. And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, this is very early, Christopher.
Early.
Bright.
I want to say that's Slumber Party or Weekend.
One Slumber of Party was the one that you said.
That was yeah. mean.
It was very mean. Very Yikes. Mean.
Yeah, it was mean.
Wasn't it Poor Susan? That's what her name was, right? Susan? Have Dana. I gotten a name right? Dana.
Dana.
Never mind.
Dana also almost gets raped.
Oh, yeah.
And then ends up dating her almost rapist. It's oh not gosh. A good book.
No, it's horrible.
The thing, he evolved. A he lot. Definitely evolved. And that was the interesting thing about his Remember Me Too thing, where he throws in that horrible story with the troll. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how does this help anyone? But Christopher Pike started off with these like trashy teen like slasher books.
Yeah.
And then by the end was just like writing about Krishna and meditation and reincarnation.
Whoa.
So I think that's where that idea came from. Uh-huh. But the execution yeah. was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I think that a part of it too was maybe a hesitance to like write for a younger audience and feeling like he had to dumb down what he was writing. Because he started writing young adult because an editor told him he should.
Oh.
And so maybe it was like, because it's early.
Does he have any adult novels?
Yeah.
A few. Mm-hmm. One of them. Oh my God. Did I mix up Michael with one of Christopher Pike's adult novels?
Wait.
So he wrote a book.
Wait, huh?
He wrote a book called Sati. And in it, it's this girl.
What?
Sati.
Sati, okay.
And this girl appears and she says she's God. Is she the one who smells like cookies?
Lindsay.
You guys.
Lindsay.
Google, does Michael smell like
cookies? I am. You know exactly how I Google. Lindsay knows. I do a lot of research around Lindsay, and it is usually like incidents of teleportation. Okay, does Michael smell
How are you even
like
gonna?
Cookies?
You're not gonna find it.
There's just the one Michael.
I'm
it's
adding
very
in
famous.
John Travolta. Ha ha!
He smells like cookies?
Wait, actually?
How could it have been that
Hold
extreme? And,
uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, here we go. We are on over here.
Oh, no,
we
wait,
are
she on just Wikipedia. Makes cookies.
No, so don't worry.
Lindsay, okay, I'll stop worrying. Oscar, stop worrying.
Stop worrying.
Don't worry.
I can't
worrying.
Help. What's Kelly going to say?
Stu Kelly.
Stu Kelly. What is Stu Kelly going to say?
He smells like cookies and the smell gets stronger when he's in heat.
Yes! I knew it!
Angels are in
Angels
heat?
Angels can get in heat. What are they, cats? Why is he in heat?
Don't they have... That's the whole... Their whole thing is that they don't have genitals.
Oh, right.
This one does.
So what does he do?
He has we'll sex see. With them.
Angels have sex.
Maybe they just have mind sex.
God.
Oh, maybe.
Like in Demolition Man?
Yes, the orgasmo thing. Yeah. The thing that you, and then you wipe your butt with a shell.
Yeah. The conch.
What? Yeah. I have not seen this.
Oh my God, Lindsay.
No, Lindsay, it's good. You
Lindsay.
Should watch it. It's really
it
good.
It holds up, too.
It holds up.
It's
guys,
good.
So good. Also, like, I, wait, is it, wait, but wasn't it like that it ended up that maybe Stallone is related to Sandy?
That's a theory.
Isn't that
yeah,
a theory?
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
Just watch it.
Don't
Does he wipe her butt with a shell?
No, she wipes her own butt with a shell.
Oh, she wipes cool. her own butt. Yeah.
Okay.
He has a hard time, though.
He doesn't get it.
He has a hard time.
Yeah.
He has a hard time wiping up his butt with a shell.
It's hard. Can you imagine if you go to the bathroom and then you just see a little shell? What do? Ew, you scoop! Nightmare. If you go into Vietnamese restaurants, a lot of times they have signs that say, please do not stand on the toilet.
Yeah, because, a bunch of toilets
yeah,
here.
Do
you,
not stand on the toilet?
Because in Vietnam, mm-hmm. you like stand on the toilet to poo. You don't
but
put
it's
your
a, it's a floor toilet.
Butt
it's,
on it.
Yeah.
Well, but
right?
Yeah, but then people come here
that,
and they're
see,
like,
they
oh,
assume...
I guess I just stand on this.
Jeez, that's dangerous.
But it is dangerous. That's why I feel yeah. like it's slippery in there.
Yeah.
But also sometimes I'll go into the bathroom at work and there are like shoe scuff marks
no.
on the toilet seat.
No.
Yes, you guys.
No.
Also, I know everyone who works on that floor, so it's very confusing.
You know what I think
Check
it
their
is?
Feet.
I
Check
don't
their
think,
shoes.
I don't think that, you know what they're
Check
doing,
Check their
Lindsay?
Shoes immediately.
They're trying yeah. to, excuse me, could I look at your shoes yeah. real quick? And unrelated, how do you poop?
Okay, Lindsay, I don't think they're pooping. I think that they are trying to eavesdrop. And so they go in the bathroom and they close the thing and they squat on the seat so no one can see their feet. And then they hear all the gossip in the bathroom.
What the heck?
What the
that
heck?
That sounds too complicated.
What the heck? It's like those squatty potty steps.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have squatty potties?
Oh, I do.
I don't have one, but I've used one.
That's why there are squatty potties, is because no toilet in the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you that squatting capability.
Mm-hmm. It's better for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've heard.
The research says. The
research. That's right.
The research is in.
Who knows? Who knows? Who really knows?
So, okay. So I have this one moment of everyone being like, he's crazy. Suddenly, I heard a loud rattling sound above our heads. Startled, I looked up to see Caleb clinging to the side of the cage, 10 or 20 feet above the ground. Mm. He was holding onto the mesh with one hand, making chimpanzee gestures with his other hand. Oh, man, Jonathan cried. And then he totally cracked up. Get down, a man cried from somewhere behind us. Hey, that's dangerous, someone else screamed. Me, Tarzan, Caleb shouted, climbing to the top of the cage.
I hate Caleb.
He's so funny.
What a crack
so
up.
Funny.
Caleb's so messed up, Jonathan exclaimed gleefully. He's crazy. He'll do anything. My eye caught Dawn a few yards away. She didn't appear at all amused. In fact, her face was bright red and she looked really embarrassed.
Dun, dun, yeah. Dun.
Yeah. I mean,
why is she the only one there having a normal human reaction?
Everyone should be embarrassed. Everyone should be embarrassing.
Caleb is the kind of person that goes to a stand up open mic and like yells at everyone in the audience
yes.
for not laughing at his jokes.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's Caleb.
Oh, what? It's too smart for you guys.
Yeah. Am I being too edgy for you assholes?
So he's Bill Maher.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Flame Lord. Come at me, Bill Maher. Shit.
I thought we just settled things with Bill.
I know. I just keep digging.
Let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think of Jonathan as a character? Are you guys into him? Like, what's his deal? Would you have had crushes on him as high school kids?
Oh, the whole time you were asking that question, I was like, anti-Jonathan, definitely anti-Jonathan. Yep. However, I definitely would have had a crush on him.
Really?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why?
Because as an adult, I'm like, ew, boring. Yeah. Don't like him.
You have problems. You're being weird.
Yeah. Here's the thing. As a teenager, you're having problems and you're being weird. It's like, oh my God. He's gone through so much.
Also, I have very little self-respect because I haven't dated anyone. Yeah.
He looks like Luke Perry. Yeah, he looks like Luke Perry. And he's very handsome.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would have felt about his like going from like being happy to like super angry.
Yeah.
Because I think that would have freaked me out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the thing was when I was like, we've talked about this a million times, like when we were teenagers, it was like we didn't realize that we even had a right to be uncomfortable or unhappy.
Oh,
yeah. So you're just like, tried to roll with absolutely everything.
Yeah. Like you're just like, I'm cool.
Yeah, you were chill. So what, is it like a bit of a mob mentality in the sense like everyone thinks Jonathan is hot? You have to think he's hot, too.
That, but then also like in terms of his like weird behavior, it's like if he's handsome and cute and he's paying attention to me, then I don't have any right to not like anything he's doing.
Gotcha.
Because I'm a girl, because I'm a weird dweeb that nobody likes and like I have no other options and he's the hottest guy that's ever talked to me.
Right.
For me, it like wouldn't even get to that second part. It wouldn't it would just be like, he's cute. He's paying attention to me. I question nothing.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at everything probably.
Literally, he's so funny.
So funny. And when he's weird, he's so dramatic and cute. Or also like
brooding,
oh God, he's not being nice and talking to me right now. Now I have to earn it.
Yeah.
Now I have to earn his affection.
What
a challenge. Yeah. I hate myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your opinions? What's your Jonathan
take? Jonathan is, I mean, from a 90s perspective, clinically attractive, right? We should all like be into him. He's like, yeah, brooding and skinny and Luke Perry, James Dean.
And skinny.
Yeah, pretty and skinny. Exactly.
90s
right?
attractive.
Mm-hmm. If I went to school and I saw someone like, first of all, if I saw someone like Jonathan, I would definitely be like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play D&D with my friends, okay? I'm going to play Magic the Gathering with my friends.
Appreciate yourself and the value that you have in this earth.
Gotcha. Oh my God.
What an interesting take.
If I looked at someone, I'd be like, okay, someone like Jonathan, and be like, okay, whatever. If I got as far as Annie did to hang out with him, I would abandon ship as soon as I realized the only place he ever wants to hang out is the place where his ex-girlfriend died. I would be like, oh, you are not over this. Like, you need to be alone. Like, you need to figure this out, right?
For sure.
Instead of still trying to, I mean, this is a doomed relationship, I feel, right?
The fact that they end up together is insane to me.
It's insane.
He just chucked Ruby off a waterfall.
I know.
You had the good luck for her not to have died. This is how you're like kissing.
Yeah.
No.
He's also covered in blood.
He's covered in blood.
And dirt. Oh, she even says like, he tastes like dirt or whatever, but I didn't care.
I didn't care because he's so hot.
Girl, get it too. Together.
Oh my God, Annie, no, you're me, and no,
I know,
you but that's don't the thing. Need it. There will be another,
yeah.
She doesn't think so, though.
She
person
the
one
so.
Also treats you like shit,
yeah. Well, it's like also, like, yeah, they just got lucky that like Ruby just like tumbled down instead of fell,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that like reminds me of like, do you remember in Buffy when like Buffy was giving Faith a really hard time about killing a guy, but she had like. killed John Ritter, but then John Ritter turned out to be a robot, so she was okay. It's
oh,
like,
yeah.
You didn't know he was a robot when you killed him. And
I
she's
never
like, yeah,
thought
but
about
he's
it that way.
Nut. So, like, she's
you
very,
got vindicated after the fact.
Yeah. Like, you like you thought you were going to jail, but then it was fine. And, like, now you're like, Faith, you killed a human.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but you thought you did. Like,
yeah.
And I think that happens to her a lot where she's like, oh no. And then it's like, actually, I'm a demon.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, phew. Yeah.
She's very lucky. I mean, the fact is that Jonathan tried to kill someone. That's
yeah.
not okay.
He threw someone.
Mm-hmm. But also, here's the thing. All the male characters that we know are fucking monsters,
mm-hmm.
right? We have
yes.
Jonathan, who's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We have Caleb, who's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We have
Ryan
who's
a rapist.
Crazy. Like, there's no chill dudes in this
there
town.
There usually aren't.
No.
No.
They're any
not.
Good dudes in these books.
That's crazy.
Stein books.
Yeah.
Good dudes in Pike books.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've seen them in like some of the female authored books. Like,
oh, for sure.
Lois Duncan.
Oh, man.
No men are better than the men in Lois Duncan
interesting.
Books.
Interesting.
They're all
she
beautiful.
Loves men.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there are also bad ones.
There
She's
are some
also,
bad ones, too.
Like, the lady writers seem to, they just, there's a lot more nuance to the character. They understand
right.
why. A girl would like a boy as opposed to them just looking like Luke Perry. Whereas in Stein books, it's like, he was cute. I was in love.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I get it. But like, there are also other touches you could be giving us.
Well,
he could be smart.
Like,
he could be interesting.
Yeah.
He could have a personality.
Yes.
Well, and in their interactions together, there's no chemistry.
No, not at all.
There's
oh my gosh. No way.
It's negative chemistry. He is literally like looking at the place where his ex-girlfriend
yeah.
died.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, hi.
Oh my God, it's ever so nice to meet you. Wow, it's weird how you were just looking off of those falls. Like, I thought you were going to jump.
It's so funny, too, because it's like every plan he makes, he's like, come with me to this. Like, come be a part of my life.
Yes,
you know, it's like it's a
classic.
Serious relationship trigger. You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If a guy isn't willing to make time for you
yes.
or do the things that you want to do, invade your world,
mm-hmm.
then it's a doomed relationship.
Totally.
Yeah. It is so common for a girl to become a part of the guy's group
yes.
of friends. Almost never the other way around.
No, never.
Yeah. And also it's, I feel, and we've talked about this too on the show, which is like, even in like interests where it's mm-hmm. like a guy will be like, oh, let me show you all of these cool movies and TV shows that I know. Your life isn't complete until you've completed
yes.
this reading list of books.
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
And then it's like, and that bugs me. Like, I've had this male friend text me before and be like, you should watch Blunt,
mm-hmm.
as which A, assumes I haven't watched it.
Yes.
B, is telling me that I should do something, as opposed to being like, hey, I know your interests and I think you'd like this. So it's like, it is a very, like, I feel like, so it's like this Jonathan is basically like being like, I have my life is dope. You want a piece of this life.
Yeah.
You have nothing to offer.
Not.
She is new though.
Not that I disagree. I was
True,
about to say,
is,
like, in his
new.
Slight defense, she has no life there.
She has no life right. or friends.
So
or, I would counter to say
yes.
that she has a family life that we don't know anything about. And yes. also, if you're in a relationship with or you want to be in a relationship with someone, you do essentially want to go on a date. The fact that he never really spent one-on-one time with her
oh,
is
for sure.
definitely a bad thing.
All right? group date.
It's all group date. Come hang out with me and my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be a one-on-one date, but Caleb is coming too. Oh, and Ruby's here too. Like,
oh, and we're going to keep going back to the place where my girlfriend was murdered.
I mean, like, that's not okay. The balance of power is skewed no. towards Jonathan. So, like, it's just bad.
Yeah.
Also, like, Annie had a brother that we never
met Kenny.
I want to know that story, right?
Except because it's a Stein book, you know he was obnoxious.
Yeah, he probably called himself like Captain you know. Pinchy or something.
Yeah, and then he was like constantly pretending he was throwing up on you or whatever.
Yeah. Kenny was a real
cut up. Everybody's yeah. a cut up.
Everybody's a cut up.
Every boy is a cut up or brooding.
Yeah. Well, the thing. Okay, so here's the thing. Annie does have interests. She likes riding bikes.
She likes being healthy.
She likes being healthy. She likes goggles. Like, goggles was an important part. Like,
she has an interest. Like, there is an actual specific relationship with yes. the cat.
Yeah. Yes.
That's no, the most that's, specific relationship in there.
Out of,
it absolutely
yeah.
is. It's the most filled out. Like, we know how the cat feels about her. We yeah. know how she feels. We know how they interact at a resting state.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But when that cat dies, we get nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
She also likes homework.
Oh yeah, she loves does. Research. She loves
she
typing.
Actually does.
She's
love
a good
research.
Student. I feel like she's like, yeah. you know, her parents are teachers, so you know, she
ethic.
Does care. Yeah, she's got some work ethic.
Good
Clearly
for her.
Her friends don't follow that same track no. at all. So yeah.
Couldn't she even have a friend from back home that she could be like on the phone with
nope.
talking
yeah.
all the
Apparently,
stuff?
Apparently when
out
you
with?
Move, you cut all ties with yeah. where you lived before.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding
I
me.
I have not spoken to anyone from New York since I moved to LA.
Mm, the second you got on the plane, you yeah. were
it's
like,
sad, but you have to not yeah. to.
Delete. Yeah. Annie's an interesting character. Do we like her as a protagonist?
She's fine. Innocuous.
She's like, yeah. Yeah.
Harmless.
Innocuous.
Yeah.
Is a good way to put it.
I want to know what Louisa was like.
I do too.
Especially. We find out at the end that Jonathan hated her.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
What is the story behind that? What was Louisa like? Was she like a diva? Was she a monster? Yeah. Was she cheating on him? He was cheating on her.
He was cheating on her. Was she like super nice? Is she yeah. exactly like Annie in every way? Is Annie going to die?
Dude,
will there be a dead girlfriend too?
Okay, I may
Where
have...
there also isn't a dead girlfriend?
I may have.
She might be like a thunder spirit or something in that one, because you know she does have electrical powers.
Electrical powers.
True.
I think I was in the mindset from Dead Lifeguard, so mm-hmm.
which we read last
which
week,
we read last
which
week.
Is also Stein.
But
we went boyfriend. Well, there was one in between, but boyfriend, Dead Lifeguard, dead girlfriends.
Wow,
it's been
the circle of life.
It's been a slog.
Yeah.
But I thought when I was reading this book, because there were like little details that I was picking up, mm-hmm. which Stein does it all the time, where he like plants these seeds and then he
right.
forgets about them.
Yes.
Yep.
So I thought that she was maybe because he was looking at her so weird when she came up
mm-hmm.
To him on the falls. And she like was like being weird and vague about certain things. And when she introduced herself, like she says her name and then she says, like, it felt so weird to introduce myself like that. So I thought mm-hmm. she was like mm-hmm. a ghost of the dead girlfriend or like
Annie was Louisa's ghost
or something. Like somehow she was like she looked different, but she was her.
Okay.
And couldn't
well,
remember.
I mean, the dream sort of puts
right.
like helps your case. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And True. It's like and she couldn't super remember why she was there. But like it. And I think it was because that was kind of happening in the last book.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was. But I was like, is that what's happening? And I was like, ooh, cool. And I don't know why I forgot that Stein doesn't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He always pulls out on yeah. doing the supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, the dead girlfriend, the dead lifeguard. Just kidding. Everyone was alive.
Yeah. There's a ghost in this story. Psych. That's the name of the other book. Yeah. There's a ghost in this story. I, R.L. Stine, promise that there is a ghost here.
Psych.
Psych.
That's one of the log lines. Yeah. Psych.
Yeah, the log line is the dead girlfriend. You turn the book around and it says, made you look. Truly 90s.
Very 90s. Yeah, I mean, how did I feel about this book overall? Like, actually, I was like invested mm-hmm. to see who was the killer. I figured it was probably Dawn, and it was. So I was at least minorly interested.
Mm-hmm. Man, I sort of wish it wasn't Dawn. I wish it was Jonathan.
Me too.
I wish it was Louisa. I wish there was a damn dead girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is there a theory that Louisa killed herself even?
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. She killed herself.
She killed herself.
Despite Jonathan.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I'll just haunt the shit out of you.
Exactly. And now she's like, now I can have you forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to get on that computer. I'm going to rewire it.
Yeah.
So that it electrocutes you.
I do.
Also, I'm going to erase all your research.
What a weird thing to
I know.
Do.
Why would you erase it all?
I don't
That's
know.
Mean.
Erasing the computer stuff. What a weird... Was computers like a brand new thing back in the day? In 93, because
it kind of seemed like it. I mean, so the internet wasn't like understood.
No.
Well, it wasn't used in classrooms, certainly.
So I get the whole like needing to use that computer and like keeping your disk at the school. But it did seem like R.L. Stine didn't super know like the phrasing of how to, because when she says, I have 10 pages of research to type into the computer,
it's
I was
so
like,
forced. It's
what
so like...
is that type into? Like, what are you typing?
Just
10
type,
pages of research.
Just, you can say type.
Yeah.
Or type up.
Or you could just say to do on the computer. Like you don't need.
Also, what do you mean? 10 pages of research is your homework assignment. That doesn't make sense.
I've
make
never
sense.
Had that
like,
homework.
Is it a 10-page
really?
Bibliography? What are you talking about?
Oh my God.
Oh, bibliography.
Don't you feel
gross.
So happy that you don't have to do bibliographies
gross,
anymore?
Lindsay.
I'm so sorry to bring that
gross.
Back to you guys.
Horrible.
I'm so sorry.
Or like,
you're right. I'm sorry.
And then when you got a little older and it'd be like, actually, we do a works cited section.
Yes.
And then you'd be like,
yeah, I'm so works cited.
And also, you were like, why have I been lied to? Why was I doing
I know.
Why teach me one thing and then teach me another thing?
It's like finding out you don't have to do cursive, but you learned
oh
it.
Oh my God, that stressed me out to no end trying to get cursive.
Mm-hmm. In law school, we had to do this class called legal research and writing because there's a very specific type of way to cite things.
That
to,
makes sense
They
to me.
Don't use Oxford commas.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my goodness.
Fuck. So it's like even things that. Like that. Like
why?
Grammar's different.
Why?
Like it's
why?
I
They're
don't
so
know.
Helpful.
I know.
They read better.
I know.
They're clean.
I know.
Oh my God.
But it was one of those classes where like I didn't really care about any of my classes, which is probably why I don't do that anymore. But like I remember like those details of like, oh, you have to like do it this way and you have to capitalize these things and you have to use large caps and small caps for these things and blah, blah, blah. Mm. I was like I so did not care.
Mm-hmm.
That like and I remember everybody freaking out about like, oh God, you know, like I have to study this and we have to do these practices. And like one of the things that you could do was try out to be in law review and like you'd submit your thing. You'd work all summer on it and they'd tell you if you made law review or not. And the whole thing was like, how good are you at legal research and writing? And I was really bad. I never made it, but I did try out. But it is weird, like looking back on that and being like, man, that used to be something that I was like willing to do. Like I thought like that I should do that. And now I'm like, I'm free. Like I never had to do that.
I'm gonna read audiobooks, podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. That was how it all started.
Fuck this.
Yeah.
I'm going to play video games on a computer.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to trick people into paying me to play video games.
Living the dream.
The true takeaway from this book is school sucks.
School sucks, dude.
S-U-X.
Dude, I was thinking about it and I was like, if I were a parent, I would have so much trouble telling a kid that they should do their homework. Mm. Like, oh, I would just so be like, this trouble. Is bullshit. I don't think you have to do this.
It's like, I don't know how to tell you to both do it and also like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter.
Like that school in Texas telling all the students that if they stage a protest for gun control, they'll be suspended.
God, yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
They don't like kids, like everybody getting on Twitter. I loved it. Kids, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
So doesn't fucking
Suspensions
matter.
Suspensions mean nothing.
It means nothing.
Now we can finally tell you.
Yeah. It so doesn't matter.
Oh, good. Even all the universities being like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that shit about your permanent record and all that. I'm like, nobody
doesn't
gives
matter.
A fuck.
It's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So take away school sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do
For
it.
For sure.
Drop out.
Take away burn all schools.
School's out forever.
Yeah, let's go learn.
That's our book.
Go learn the school of life in the forest.
School's out forever is a good title
Isn't
for
that
one
so
of
good?
These books.
Yeah,
yeah.
Gotta
oh,
write it.
Oh, that's
now.
Good.
Mm-hmm. School's out
forever. That would be a real.
It's got to be a tagline.
I feel like, yeah,
the
that's
dead
a,
girlfriend. That's a, school's out
forever.
People pick up the book. They're like, what?
They're like, I guess.
Huh. School. S-U-X.
No, that's the graffiti like in the background on a locker.
Yeah.
It's like school's S-U-X.
S-U-X.
School's out then, forever.
Yeah.
And they're like,
dead girlfriend. What?
Okay.
School sucks. X-U-X? School sucks.
Well, thank you so much for doing the
Oh my
podcast,
gosh.
Oscar.
Thank you yes. so much for having me. This was so fun.
This was so really fun. Thank you so much for doing
yeah,
the show.
Thank you for reading a book.
Yeah,
thank you
yeah
for
I loved
reading
it.
That book.
I loved it.
Oh, wait. Was this... We talked to you forever ago at that
yes.
horror LA convention.
That's right.
Was this the book you were thinking of?
This was not the book that I was thinking
wait,
of.
Wait, what was the book Darn. You were thinking of?
And I don't remember the title of the book.
Okay,
but
tell
in
me what,
the book,
wait, what, is, what happens.
In the book, there's a... I thought it was like the best R.L. Stein book ever.
Okay.
Because a weird... Like a toss-away... Because like, you were saying like R.L. Stein does have a weird... thing where he like gives you hints about mm-hmm. what the book might end. So she like plays the clarinet or she plays a musical instrument.
So she's good at holding her breath.
Yes. So she's really good at holding her
what
breath.
What is that? Oh my God. I've read that book.
And then he like chokes the guy.
Her.
Yeah. He drowns her and she, you think she's dead. And
yes.
he's like walking away like, I killed it. And then she like hits him with a tuba. Wait, was it a tuba? Or
no,
something?
I think she plays sax or something.
Or sax,
it's like a
maybe.
Big, what is this? Creepers, she, help us.
Because she was...
What is it?
Because she
Creepers, be
could
on
hold
the case.
Her breath.
Yeah. Yes.
Teen Creepers,
I totally remember this
do it.
Book. Yeah. Yeah,
Fly.
And he like holds her under the water and she fakes it.
And she fakes it.
And
yeah.
even as she's faking it, she's like, good thing I'm really good at playing saxophone.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, that was the twist. Was
yeah.
like, and I was like, well done.
And then he gives up and walks away
yeah.
and then she beans him with something.
We haven't already read this
no,
book.
No, we haven't
though,
read
right?
it.
Okay.
We haven't read it.
We'll look
Please
into it.
Please let me know. Let me know what it's called.
As soon as we found it.
Because it is.
You're coming back on the podcast.
That's what I mean. Yes. Yes, please. Yes.
Good. Awesome. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh,
yeah.
oh my
I
gosh.
I want you to tell us about this Facebook TV show.
Oh yeah, it's called I Want My Phone Back, and it's essentially a game show where real people give us their phones and we sort of do whatever we want with their phones, like send parents like dick pics that they have. It's shocking how many people have dick pics on their phone. Why?
Wow.
Why?
Wow. Delete it. Take another one.
Just like
you don't
have why
favorites.
Have it on your phone? But
no,
it's,
why store it on your
yeah,
phone?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Exactly.
Just
why store it on
it.
Your phone?
Yeah.
Or like nude shots, which Ooh. I mean, it's fine, but it's like, don't give us your phone knowing you have those things. Anyway, so it's essentially, it works like boiling points where we do different challenges and they get money every time they let us do it. And if they want out, they just say, I want my phone back. And then they get the money that they've earned.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's really fun. It's on Facebook right now. You can watch it. It's great. We have 2 seasons up. It's a good time.
Cool.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any other shows you want to plug?
You
in
can
the
see
Los
me.
Angeles area or
yeah,
possibly
if you're in
New
LA
York.
And you go to UCB, I'm on a Herald team called Pony. And we play every Monday, Thursday or Friday, and then Herald, Maud with the Summer of the third Wednesday of every month at UCB Sunset at 8:30 PM. Also listen to my podcast called Inside the Disney Vault. Our goal is to watch every single Disney animated movie in chronological order and talk about it. right now we're up to Aladdin, which is crazy. Whoa, that we're there already.
Yeah, so you got to the slog of the beginning.
Did we ever.
Ooh, question. Ooh, are you going Aladdin and then the DVD releases of Aladdin?
No,
or just
only here? Theatrical releases.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Then we're going to loop back for all the sequels, right, and then the unofficial like releases as well.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah.
Wow.
It's so freaking crazy. Yeah, wow. It's called Inside the Disney Vault. Yeah, check us out.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Oh, and where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, yes, on the Intergrams. On Instagram, you can find me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O. I'm also that on Twitter. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Oscar.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. And thank you so much to the wonderful Oscar. If you are reading along with us, next week, we're going to be covering Secret Vampire.
The first in LJ Smith's Night World series.
We hear you. We hear what you've been asking for.
We know you wanted us to do Daughters of Eve, but I'm a completist.
Of
Eve. Yeah. Do you know Daughters of Eve?
Of course I know Daughters of Eve.
So the thing that everyone's so been great. Saying about Daughters of Eve is that their favorite thing is that no one can tell if it's pro or anti-feminist.
Yes. That's a huge, yeah, it's a, isn't
I
that
love
a big thing,
that.
Right?
I don't know.
We
that's
haven't
what,
read it.
Everybody
neither
that's commented.
Read it.
You guys haven't read it?
No.
Ooh.
I had never read any LJ Smith
no, me neither.
Before this.
And it's shocking because we
heard of her.
Would have loved her as
yeah.
Jess.
So I don't know why.
Never heard of her before.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, we're cool. For sure going to get to that. But yeah.
cool,
first things first, we're doing Night World,
but
Secret Vampire.
Honestly,
Vampire.
First things first, we're all going to go watch Michael right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
I got some cookies in the oven.
Absolutely. I like to eat cookies while I watch Michael, so I can imagine he's there with me.
He's in heat.
Ew.
If you want to see the rest of our reading schedule, you can go to teencreepspod.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Teen Creeps Pod.
And Twitter.
Yeah, what else? Twitch. You can go to AOL.com.
You can go into microfiche at your library.
Live Journal, Friendster.
If you Google these podcasts, are secretly time travel podcasts, you will find photos of us with Lincoln.
Yes.
Just search Secret Spot. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. We'll see you next week and keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Dog. Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.